497-8345.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue with Mac Maloney on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. The book is called UFOs in Wartime, about cases through the ages that occurred in synchronicity with war. Okay, you mentioned the Maury Allen case, and it's a can of worms. A number of people feel that case was a hoax or of conventional design. And then with the Mantell case, some people suggest he was just following the planet Venus. He got fooled. He flew too high and caused his own death. Any response?
Well, with the Maury Allen case, I mean, you're right. It's a can of worms. It seems 50-50 whether it's a hoax or whether it actually happened. It seems to me that something happened there. I mean, just so many things.
Well, losing two Air Force investigators on a plane crash, leaving the site of the investigation.
That's true. That fact alone
makes it interesting.
It makes it interesting, right. There's just so many people involved. If it was some kind of a hoax, it just seems like there would be just too many moving parts to pull off a hoax like that. The FBI didn't believe that it wasn't a hoax. The FBI believed it was real, but then other people said, well, you know, if you look a little deeper, all it is was just some kind of a intelligence operation to discredit people seeing UFOs. So I don't know. You know, to me, it was just interesting subject to put in the book. We devote probably about 10 pages to it. You know, and all these things, I just ask people, if you're interested in any episode that appears in the book, just, you know, go and look at the research and really make up your own minds. With the Mantell case, I don't believe that he was chasing Venus because, first of all, he was a pretty experienced pilot. He was the flight leader of four F-51s that day, and usually the flight leader is the most experienced guy. Whatever he was chasing, he was mesmerized by it. So much so that he went way beyond the safety limit of, you know, how high he could fly altitude-wise. He was beyond the capabilities of his oxygen supply. His last words were, you know, it's gigantic and I'm getting closer to it. I can't believe that. And plus, it was during the day. You know, I don't know if you can really see Venus during the day to the point that you would actually chase it. I think he saw something else. I think he saw something that he had no idea what it was, and he wanted to find out what it was, and he overstepped his bounds as far as, you know, his flight envelope to find out what it was, and tragically he was killed.
And the other key is here, is there any evidence that any of these wartime cases involve something that indicates a UFO might have fired back?
Nothing during the 50s, no. Nothing during the 50s. Now, I will say something as an aside. What that is that completely, you know, off the subject of UFOs, there were airplanes, U.S. airplanes being shot down by the Russians during the 50s. We created a whole fleet of spy planes, a lot of them were C-130 cargo planes, that would fly around the borders of Russia, sometimes crossing over the border, with their listening gear pointed towards the middle of Russia to see if what the Russians were up to, where they were testing nuclear weapons or whatever, and they would send MiGs up against these planes and shoot down these planes. They were unarmed. So this was an unknown, undeclared war between Russia and the United States, and a lot of pilots and a lot of planes were lost during this, as I say, undeclared war. Whether that somehow got mixed up with chasing UFOs or not, I don't know.
Good point. Very interesting point. Another thing I wanted to mention about the Maury Island in that crucial time period, June, July, in the Puget Sound area of Washington State. My father was aboard a Coast Guard cutter and was serving in the Coast Guard in Puget Sound during that time period. And he told me when I was a kid that they had brand new radar units, and they clocked objects that appeared to be traveling in excess of 10,000 miles an hour, 10K. And some of these sightings, there was, I can't remember his exact wording, but something about them coming in and out of Puget Sound, not only flying around, but actually entering the water as well. I just wanted to mention that as an aside. Now, obviously, we have Roswell right after that, and we don't even want to go into that can of worms. We don't have enough time because we've got a lot of interesting material in your book to cover here.
And we've also covered Roswell to death.
I don't believe Roswell happened, and I say that in the book. I just don't think it happened.
You know what? Let's hear about this. Why do you feel that Roswell never happened?
Okay, here's the can of worms, folks.
Okay, well, once again, you kind of have to look at numbers, okay? And the numbers would be that, you know, first we have the story about, you know, the crash debris is found. And then if you see the crash debris in the photographs that were taken, I mean, a good case can be made that it was, you know, part of this kite, this spy balloon that the Air Force was...
A balloon train, yeah.
Yeah, right. And sure, was there a cover-up? Yes, there was a cover-up. But it wasn't a cover-up because the UFO crashed. It was a cover-up because they wanted to keep this spy balloon program under wraps. And then it seemed to have taken a life of its own. When I was young and I would read UFO books, there was no mention of Roswell in any of these books, but it just kind of came back to life in the late 70s or early 80s.
Like and then all of a sudden, Frankenstein's monster.
Right, and now there's five UFOs were found, and alien bodies everywhere, and so
multiple
on and so forth.
Multiple crash sites.
Yeah, you cannot, you know, there's just...
And they were brought down by radar, Mac. Don't forget that. They were brought down by radar.
There's just too many moving parts for this to be real. You know, once again, I don't want to disparage the people who have spent a lot of time researching this.
Right.
But just in the stuff that I read, I don't think it happened.
Okay, there you go, Gene.
Okay, well, now we're going to see those letters in our forum saying, what's he talking about? I know a few people who have obviously explored very extensively Roswell, have been on the show. Also, the Aztec case. I assume the Aztec case in Aztec, New Mexico, you don't think that happened either.
Yeah, I didn't look very deeply into that, but I probably shouldn't comment about that. I was like,
all right.
Gene, you're bad. You're a bad man. Mac is, you know, he's done a really good job. Mac, I looked through the book extensively, and you do. This is a really good resource for someone that's interested in, you know, a more objective way of looking at the history of the UFO phenomenon. And you're right. There does seem to be a correlation with hostilities amongst humans. You know, if you pattern and look at the waves of activity, they tend to occur right around the points where we're getting ready to go to war. And right then they ebb and flow a little bit through that period. But then there's a real increase as soon as we're done with conflict. And if you do a correlation between the waves of UFO sightings and when we're moving massive amounts of armed men around the planet, you find an interesting correlation. That's something that I wanted to point out before we move forward. We did talk briefly about the Vietnam War. There are a lot of interesting reports that you hear about, but you don't see good documentation of concerning Vietnam. What about Vietnam? Korea is a whole nother thing that... I don't think enough people have really looked into the amount of potential sightings during the Korean War. Are there any?
Yes, there were. I mean, the Korean War was actually pivotal in this, and Richard Haynes is the guy who really brought this to light. You know, the Air Force had closed down all their UFO investigated units by the time right before the Korean War started, and they just wanted to basically be out of the business of investigating UFOs. And the famous quote by one general said, after the ATIC revised its findings and said that, you know, there really wasn't anything to UFOs, the famous quote is, some general said, behind nearly every UFO report stands a crackpot, a religious crank, a publicity hound, or a malicious joke. Okay, and that was the Air Force's stated opinion on it, and they wanted it to be their last opinion on it, their last statement on it. But now, 6 months after that statement came out, Korea starts, and all of a sudden, what you have is lots of jet fighters flying over Korea. Korea is only about one-third the size of Texas. You have, not only do you have a lot of radar on the ground and on ships, but now you have radar on airplanes themselves and high-speed aircraft. So you have many human eyes seeing these things, but also electronic eyes. And there were a number of instances in the book where military pilots came upon huge UFOs over Korea in the midst of battle. There were also several more instances where UFOs would circle over the fleet, and people would think that there were MiGs, you know, setting up an attack, and yet these things would circle over aircraft carriers for 8, 9, 10 hours at a time. They would send planes up to get them, but they were always just a little bit beyond the visual range, always hiding in the clouds, on radar, but they were never seen. And what happened was, and Richard Haynes told me this, and I agree with him.
We'll have to explain what happened and what Richard Haynes told you in our next segment with Mac Maloney, UFOs in War Times, the book with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, separating signal from noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
As we move down the UFO highway here, UFOs in Wartime, Mac Maloney, you were about to quote something from our friend Richard Haynes, please.
What he told me was, and I agree with him, is that he believes that there were so many UFO incidents in Korea that that's what really compelled the Air Force to reopen the investigation and to start Blue Book. You know, the Air Force refused to give any comment at all about UFO sightings in Korea. They would make up excuses for what pilots saw to fit the idea that, well, you know, if something is flying alongside a B-29 for 10 minutes pacing it, well, we're going to have to call that a communist flare. If the Navy fighter saw a huge object flying at 800 miles an hour, we're going to have to call that an enemy balloon. They would make up these ludicrous, you know, excuses for what their pilots were seeing because they couldn't say their pilots were cranks or crackpots. But he thinks, and I agree with them, that behind the scenes they said, we better reopen this, and that's how Blue Book came about. So Korea is really a pivotal point in this whole UFO story.
Any more questions, by the way, Chris?
Except for Vietnam.
Which we'll get to later.
We'll get to later, yeah. Let me just ask about the Roosevelt, because this would be a good place, Mac, to start talking about the FDR.
All right, so we're moving from World War II into the 50s and later on. What other conflicts do we find large portions of UFO sightings in? Vietnam, of course.
Vietnam, and, the interesting thing about the 50s is that that was the era of the Cold War. And as you were saying earlier, it's not just that a lot of UFO sightings take place during war, but it seems like they are watching us as we're preparing for war. And a case could be made that the entire Cold War and the entire 50s was made up of us preparing to go to war with Russia. The story about the FDR, the USS Franklin Delano Roosevelt, is interesting. The aircraft carrier, it was an aircraft carrier. It was commissioned right after World War II ended. It was one of the first aircraft carriers to have jet aircraft land on it. It was also one of the first Navy aircraft carriers to have nuclear weapons on it. And for some reason, over the next 20 years or so, UFOs, there's really the only good word to describe it is they haunted the FDR. There were at least six different cases where UFOs showed up over the FDR. The first one was they were doing NATO exercises in the North Sea in 1952. There happened to be a photojournalist on the FDR at the time. He took a picture of a UFO going overhead. There were hundreds of ships taking part in this NATO exercise, and hundreds of crewmen on these ships from various countries saw UFOs. UFOs were seen over England, air bases, the British air bases at the time, Danish air bases at the time, Swedish air bases at the time. And for some reason, they all seemed to be keying in on the FDR. So then you flash forward a few years, the FDR had been refitted in Washington, was going to its new home base in Florida, and it went around the bottom of South America, stopped in Rio de Janeiro for a goodwill visit. It's anchored there. Two UFOs show up. Lots of people on the aircraft carrier saw them. Very vivid, very described as being bright, circular, saucer shaped. Could see portholes in them, and then they disappeared. A few years later, the FDR was in Guantanamo Bay, the famous Gitmo. It was anchored there. UFO showed up, hung over the aircraft carrier for 10 minutes. People could see not only portholes, but they could see people looking out of the portholes at them. And then the UFO took off. The next day, the CIA came aboard the FDR and talked to everyone who had seen the UFO, and their excuse was they claimed they were on the aircraft carrier investigating illegal gambling. If you could imagine the CIA trying to investigate illegal gambling on a Navy ship, but that was just their excuse. They talked to crew members at SARA and then told everyone, don't ever talk about this again. Flash forward to the early 60s. The FDR is now in the Mediterranean. A UFO was seen, picked up on radar, heading right to it at high speed. They launch a couple F-4 Phantom fighters, which were like the new airplane at the time. They get to the intercept point. The UFO disappears. The fighters land back on the ship. Next thing you know, the UFO is right over the FDR, and it stays there for a long time until it finally disappears. The captain of the ship told everyone who saw it, and everyone who saw it on radar and with their own eyes, just don't say anything about this again. The FDR then was decommissioned later on, and when UFO investigators went back into their records, they found that any mention of UFOs were wiped clean. It's really an interesting case that you would have one ship that UFOs kind of keyed in on, and the only explanation is maybe is because it was the first Navy aircraft carrier to carry a nuclear weapon.
It shows, again, the obsession with UFOs on our nuclear testing. Chris?
Yeah, good job researching that one. Then let's move into the late 50s. The Gander incident, very, very intriguing case. You do a good job of giving a nice little summary of that case. Why don't we talk about that particular encounter?
Again, that's an amazing case. What we have is a super constellation, military version of a super constellation airliner being flown by the Navy. They're flying back from Europe with crews that have done their hitch, and now they're coming back to the U.S. They're flying along. They're about an hour outside of Newfoundland when the crew sees lights below them. And the first thing they think of is that we're off course, we're actually over land, and we're looking down on a town or a village. But then they check their position, and they realize, no, they're still over the ocean. So as it turns out, there were a number of air crews on the airplane making the flight. So they brought all these pilots up into the cockpit, and they're all looking down on these lights. Suddenly, a ring of lights comes up at them, and they realize this is an object that is speeding up at them at incredible speed. There's almost a collision. The pilot just barely is able to maneuver out of the way of this thing. And the next thing you know, there's this gigantic object flying off their left wing. Everybody saw it. It stayed there for a little while, and then it took off at high speed. So everyone on the airplane is shaken. They finally landed at Gander. There's Air Force intelligence people there to debrief them. They take everyone's statement, and once again they tell everyone, don't say anything about this. The plane itself finally completes its flight, and it gets down to Pax River in Maryland. And the pilot later on is where where Navy intelligence people talk to them. Later on, the pilot was contacted by a U.S. government scientist who said, can I speak to you? And the Navy gave him permission to speak to the scientist. And the scientist basically wanted to know, you know, what happened, and the pilot told him. And then at the end of this interview, the scientist pulls out a portfolio of photographs, and they're all photographs of different kinds of UFOs. And he says, tell me what shape you saw. And in this portfolio, there was one photograph of exactly what the people in that airplane saw. And he said, that's it. That's what we saw. And then he demanded the scientist tell him, where did you get these photographs? And the scientist would not answer him, packed up the portfolio and left. And the pilot was, you know, he's a very experienced Navy pilot, and he was left with this impression, the government must know something about this because I just saw a whole pack of photographs that are in their possession.
Let's remind our listeners, Mac, this event occurred in very early, I think February of 56, if I remember. Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about an interesting time period in the mid to late 50s where the UFO phenomenon kind of took on a different sort of veneer.
Speaking of veneers, and speaking of the Vietnam War, which is what we're going to get into next in terms of UFO sightings, you're listening to a discussion of the book UFOs in Wartime by Mac Maloney with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Storable foods, check. Water filters, check. Gold and silver, check. Tactical gear, check. What's missing from your survival checklist? An essential that should not be taken for granted. Storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. Since many foods do not contain the essential micronutrients your body needs, you need Survival RX, the world's first ultra-long-term storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. How long? Survival RX products have a shelf life of up to 30 years, thanks to triple nitrogen flushing for guaranteed freshness. Go to SurvivalRx.com for our complete product list, including powdered milk and whey protein isolate. And remember, November is Nuclear Disaster Preparedness Month at SurvivalRx.com. With every order until November 30th, you will receive a free bottle of potassium iodate. Just enter coupon code RADIO. Go to SurvivalRx.com. That's Survival, the letter R, the letter X.com. Add SurvivalRx.com to your preparedness checklist today.
Hey everybody, Alex Jones here. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open-pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
A couple of more segments to spend with Mac Maloney. The book is called UFOs in Wartime. And we're covering the wars. We only have a short amount of time left. Let's go to the Vietnam War. A couple of highlights, please.
Yeah, well, we have a question, Gene, from Ward, and he said, I heard a long time ago that in Vietnam, the Viet Cong never had any helicopters. So when the term enemy helicopters was used during that time period, it was really a code word for UFOs. Have you, Mac, have you ever heard anything about that?
Yes, he's right. The North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong never flew helicopters during the Vietnam War, or at least they didn't fly any helicopters below the DMZ, which was the demarcation line between North Vietnam and South Vietnam. So what would happen is, just like back in the World War II, where, you know, unidentified aerial objects were seen, and they were just called misguided rockets and things of that nature. In Vietnam, the code word was enemy helicopters. But as he says, there were no enemy helicopters. And probably the best episode that we can talk about having to do with this is the Hobart incident. I'm not sure how many people know about this, but basically what happened was in the summer of 1968, there were a lot of U.S. troops right up on the DMZ, looking across the DMZ virtually into North Vietnam, and they started seeing strange lights in the sky. The code word was instituted again, enemy helicopters, but of course the U.S. military knew they weren't enemy helicopters, so they rushed a lot of anti-aircraft missiles, radar, and jets up to the northern part of South Vietnam during this time period. And what happened was the next night or a few nights later, these strange lights were seen again, and they scrambled F-4 Phantoms and went up to chase these lights. And at the same time, because of this kind of high tension at the time, the U.S. military had asked for all available warships to patrol right off the coast of the DMZ, and that included some of our allies, and that included this Australian destroyer called the HMAS Hobart. So now what we have is we have F-4 Phantoms flying around at night chasing these strange lights, and no one knows what they are. The strange lights fly over the DMZ and then go out over the Gulf of Tonkin. And at some point during that time period, the F-4 Phantom shot at these lights. The tragic thing was that what happened was the air-to-air missiles didn't hit the lights. They hit the Hobart, and they killed three Australian soldiers. The Hobart started firing back at the F-4s, and no one knew what was going on, really, until the next morning. And then they realized that in shooting up the strange lights, the enemy helicopters, the Air Force Phantoms had actually unknowingly attacked this Australian destroyer and killed three sailors and wounded a lot of them. And the U.S. military took a lot of the wounded off of the destroyer, brought them to Vietnam and treated them. And the destroyer was a mess. It had been hit by at least three air-to-air rockets. And it had to retire, and it went back to Australia to be refitted. Years later, it was actually sunk to be an artificial reef, but really kind of a tragic story. And it all had to do with one night U.S. fighters chasing UFOs over the DMZ.
Military intelligence, Mac. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, do you think that there's something to that case? Do you think possibly the telemetry or the targeting data or routines with the air-to-air rockets were somehow manipulated by these objects to attack the Hobart?
Well, you know, you make a good point, because it's very hard for a air-to-air rocket. They were Sidewinder missiles, and it would be very hard for them to hit a ship, frankly. You're flying at least a couple miles in altitude. You're firing it at a specific target. And after a while, the Sidewinder, if it doesn't find its target, it runs out of fuel.
Well, chances are it's going to find you before it finds a ship all the way down on the deck, you know?
Right.
I just bring that up because there is a curious element there. And, of course, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin brings up another very curious, almost paranormal event that got us into the Vietnam War, which I don't want to digress. We don't have enough time. But it seems that there are crucial UFOs show up at crucial times within the process, and this may have been a shot across our bow in terms of, hey, you try to attack us, look what can happen to you.
Well,
I'm just putting that out there. So where do we go from here? I mean, we have a couple of more interesting time for a couple of more interesting Vietnam accounts. How about the Viet Cong the North Vietnamese having their problems with UFOs?
Right, there was a story about a Marine patrol went into there was a notorious place in Vietnam called the I Drang Valley, which saw a lot of fighting during the Vietnam War. I'm sorry, the A Sha Valley.
They did a whole Mel Gibson movie, We Were Soldiers, about the first battle there.
So what the Marines used to do is that they would go into this area and they would set up ambush spots where they knew the North Vietnamese were going to come down a certain trail or whatever, and they would try to ambush them. So on this particular night, they were in their ambush mode, and no North Vietnamese showed up. So morning came, and now the Marines are going to go back to their base. They're going back to their base, and they come to a clearing, and all of a sudden they see a UFO overhead, you know, standard flying saucer, very bright. There it is, right above the jungle canopy. The Marines are kind of mesmerized by it, and all of a sudden they hear a gunfire, and it turns out that there were North Vietnamese or Viet Cong soldiers nearby, and they started firing at this thing. And, so the Marines basically witnessed this gun battle between communist troops and UFO, and this included they were firing machine guns at it, rocket-propelled grenades, the works. And eventually, either the Vietnamese, the communists ran out of ammunition or whatever, but the UFO accelerated and took off. The Marines, you know, hightailed it back to their base. They were debriefed. Of course, their superiors said, don't ever mention the incident to anybody.
Mm. That's good research. I'd never heard that one. Good job on that one. What about this really cool incident where we have that curious effect of a UFO, you know, killing electrical processes and stopping machinery, that sort of thing? There's a really good case, I think, from 66 that you mentioned about a UFO showing up and shutting everything down. Why don't you tell us about that one real quick?
Right. What it was, in 1966, as you say, there's a huge base at Nha Trang, which is about the midlands of South Vietnam, right on the coast. And one night, a lot of the soldiers there had gathered to watch a movie. They had just got an outdoor generator, and now they had electricity to run a movie projector. So there was several thousand GIs there watching a movie. In another part of the base, there were A-1 Skyraider attack planes getting ready to take off. In another part of the base, there were bulldozers, so, you know, bulldozing a new road. And in the middle of the night, actually halfway through this movie, this light appeared above the base, and people thought it was flares because at night there would be a lot of flare activity between the U.S. and communist forces. But this light was so bright it came right down on top of the base, and people didn't know what was going on. And as this happened, all the electricity in the base just stopped. The movie projector stopped. The airplanes couldn't take off. The bulldozers were stalled. The light hung there for quite a while, and then it disappeared. It's probably the one UFO instance in Vietnam that had the largest number of witnesses.
We know it's extremely difficult to make a buck these days, so we're offering a special opportunity for you to work part-time or full-time for the PowerCast, the Tech Night Owl Live, and our famous technology commentary site, TechNightOwl.com. If you have a background in online sales and marketing, and if you're ready to make great things happen with our company, please email your resume and your references. Write to us, news@thepowercast.com. That's news@thepowercast.com. Maybe you can become a member of our team. I'll tell you what, there's a lot more to come in our final segment with Mac Maloney. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with a WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hey, folks, this is Crazy Melvin for eFoods Direct, and I'm slashing prices to get you the best deals on your food supply. Call now and save on a 25-year food supply that can save your life when disaster strikes, because it will strike and it will smack you right upside the head. So keep...
Wait a minute, Melvin. I know eFoods Direct, and they're not full of hype like you. eFoods Direct goes to great lengths to ensure you get the best ingredients, full of nutrition and flavor. They are the real deal. Melvin, you're right about one thing, though. For Black Friday weekend, eFoods will save you 30% off anything on their website at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Now, that's a deal with no hype. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and save 30% off your entire order. This deal only lasts through Monday, November 20th. So call now. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, 30% off this Black Friday weekend. Leave the hype to Crazy Melvin, because you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, we're running out of wars? No, we have the first Gulf War. And the book is UFOs in Wartime by Mac Maloney with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. And there's something here which hits my eye about something called The Stargate, of course, fodder for a motion picture, a series of TV shows. Mac, what are we talking about? What about The Stargate and Saddam Hussein?
Well, this is an interesting story that I came upon, and it really ends the book. What happened was, it's actually two incidents. I kept coming upon stories that during the first Gulf War, so in 1991, that U.S. fighters shot down a UFO. And the story is basically four F-16s were on their way to Baghdad on a bombing mission. They spotted UFO. One flew off in pursuit of it. The UFO fired at it. It fired at the UFO, shot the UFO down. The UFO crashed in the Saudi Arabian desert. People saw the wreckage. People also saw the U.S. Army packing it up and allegedly shipping it back to the U.S. Later on, between the first Gulf War and let's call the second Gulf War, there was this war of attrition where the U.S. was bombing Saddam Hussein's aircraft, anti-aircraft batteries. There was a no-fly zone over all of Iraq. And during this time, there was another story that said that Iraqi forces shot down a UFO during this time period, and that they took the remains of the UFO and maybe the crew back to what was basically Iraq's Saddam Hussein's Area 51, and that he had scientists reverse engineer things that they found in this UFO. Now, the odd thing is that there are some people who think that that was the WMD that we were looking for in the second war. We didn't find any nuclear weapons. We didn't find any evidence of his chemical weapons. And there's a lot of evidence to say that, that those two programs he had closed down a long time before. So people say, well, why stop this war? What's the WMD?
Yeah, what do you think about that, Gene?
I don't know. They never discovered the WMD and were kind of living in that belief. So I don't know. Is this it? That's a good question.
I don't know either. I mean, you go to war over something like that. But let's face it, they said they were looking for WMD. I mean, there was no nuclear or chemical WMD found. So what were they looking for?
Exactly. And that also brings up the other wrinkle in this particular story that I've followed over the years. Of course, you know, a lot of this stuff's on the Internet. It's very difficult to really track down original sources, that sort of thing. But there were also rumors in the more fantastic version of the story that Saddam Hussein had discovered some sort of ancient stargate there, and that was also part of the whole scenario of going into Iraq. What has your research uncovered on that?
Well, I didn't really come upon a lot of information on that, but I will say this, is as we all know, where Iraq is today is really the cradle of civilization. The first city was in Iraq. It was called Ur. Well, I haven't done very much research on that, but I think, as we all know, that where Iraq is today is considered the cradle of civilization. That's where civilization more or less started. So if there was going to be a Stargate somewhere, it probably would be there.
Okay, then when we talk about Stargate, do we think of what we see in the movies, which is some kind of transport device to take you elsewhere?
It would be nice to think of it that way. I think it would be great. If we were to come upon some kind of technology like that, whether it's something left over from thousands of years ago or something that someone could invent now, think of the possibilities of something like that. Think of how the human race would change.
So do you think it's possible that the Iraqis may have actually stumbled on something akin to some kind of ancient technology, but maybe didn't have the time to develop the capabilities? And do you think that would be a good pretext to go to war? Of course, a third of the world's oil is also pretty hefty motivation. But do you think there's anything to that? I have found some interesting equivocal information about this whole idea, this whole concept. But where do you come down on ancient technology possibly existing and even potentially surviving to the modern age that has, you know, high exalted capabilities? Where do you come down on that?
I think it's possible. I think that there was some kind of a civilization on this earth millions and millions of years ago, and we just can't find it. The evidence of it has been wiped clean. Or maybe there wasn't as many people involved in it as there are a number of people on Earth now. But I think that there's a possibility that something like that, you know, is true, because there is fleeting glimpses of evidence of things like that. And like I say, if it's going to show up anywhere, it's going to show up in Mesopotamia, because that's where, you know, the cradle of civilization was. That's where we all came from, as modern human beings. So I have my fingers crossed that someday someone will find something like that, because I think a whole new era of human civilization would begin.
Well, we're getting very close. We're getting very close. Okay, so was that the only, as they say, outside possibility for the Gulf War and UFOs? Anything else to mention before we close it out?
There were a couple incidents where right before the first Gulf War, as they were getting ready to go to war, there was a number of episodes that we bring out in the book where people were seeing very strange things flying over the area, over the entire Middle East. There were reports that U.S. Navy ships fired on a UFO right before the war started. Once again, it just goes right to the point where it just seems that when we're about to go to war or we are at war, the number of UFO sightings spikes, and I think that's interesting. I'd like to know why, but that's the whole premise of the book, and I think that we present a lot of evidence to at least get people thinking what is going on here.
Where do you take it from here? Are you going to write a sequel, or do you think this is the best effort you could put forth in terms of your entry into UFO investigations?
Yeah, I think this is going to be it, to tell you the truth. I could change, that could change tomorrow. But, we put a lot of time into it. We did a lot of research. And as I say in the book, we scraped the surface. But the thing is that for people to read the book, I urge them to, if there's a particular episode that really sparks your interest, go and look at the research of people like
this. Yeah, help out. Be part of the solution.
Right, exactly. And another thing, too, I should say is that, once again, I'm a writer. I'm more of a reporter. I'm not a UFO researcher. And my hat's off to people like you and the people that I talk to, because you're the people who are keeping this thing going. And someday it will be solved. Someday the puzzle will be solved. And you people will be the heroes.
Data will overwhelm the mystery.
Well, you have kept this going. I mean, there were people years ago who said the world was flat, and then there were people who said, no, it's round. And the people who said it was round were right. But they just stuck to it. And that's why I really admire people who do this on a daily basis. My hat is really off to you people.
Well, thank you. And thanks for Gene, too, because I'll tell you, talk about a guy that's been in the trenches for a long time in this whole thing, right, Mr. Dinosaur?
I am a dinosaur. I resemble that remark. I've been doing it for 81 million years.
There you go.
I remember a place called Terra Nova. and I chased those dinosaurs. And people said, no, you're a dinosaur. And I said, I'm not that big. You know, I don't have four arms. I'm not one of those creatures that bites your neck, but I could be a vampire. You never know. Mac Maloney, tell our listeners where they could get more information about what you do, not just this book, but your others.
Well, they can go to MacMaloney.com. It has a list of all the books I've done and just other stuff that we've done. We're working on a site now, UFOsandWartime.com, that people will be able to go to. We're going to have a lot of information there. The book comes out December 6th. It'll be in all bookstores everywhere December 6th, but you can pre-order it on Amazon.com, and it's going to be, you know, in paper, but also, of course, you know, in digital form.
If it's on digital form, you know, you can't be part of the future. Speaking of part of the future, what have you got going on, Chris O'Brien?
Well, I'm headed on to Tennessee for a conference. Then about a month later, I'm going to be off out in the Southern California area doing a speaking tour there. And, of course, you can always catch me at forum.theparacast.com. I also have a website, Gene, called Our Strange Planet, My Eternal Work in Progress.
So, neighbors, if you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, you know where to send it, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. We promise to read each and every message, Chris and I, and we'll try to answer most of them. And, by the way, if you do want to join our team, you have a background in sales, especially online sales, and broadcast experience as a salesperson is a must, do write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. Special thank you this week to Mac Maloney. Mac, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.